Hello and welcome to the Married at First Sight Wrap Up. I'm Asia, and as always, I'm here with my awesome co-host, Jason. Jason, how are you doing?
I'm just trying to get myself centered before I talk about these people. I'm doing well, Asia. I'm feeling good. This morning, like every morning, I woke up refreshed, God in my heart.
Are you awake?
I'm wide awake, refreshed.
Okay. Because I don't know what sound baths do to chicken finger men. So just making sure you're wide
makes
awake.
Us go crazy. Right. Yeah, I'm good, Asia. Ready to talk about this episode of these fun people that are losing their minds every week.
Yeah, you gotta love the retreat episode. And of course, since it is the retreat episode, we couldn't do it alone. We have the wonderful, the lovely Amy. Amy, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Glad we're not going to be getting too hyper on this episode now that we've all centered ourselves.
Oh, wow. You call me hyper? Let's just say that I'm hyper. Wow. You're touching on it.
It's just so
crossing my boundaries.
Right? No, we have some scheduling blips. They're just blips, and I'm glad to finally be here.
Yes, we are so glad to have you back. I mean, the last time you spoke to us about season 14, it was episode 1. So
yeah, we
so
didn't
much
even see any of the marriages, all of the marriages. Yet.
Yeah,
it's such a different world.
Yeah,
all the way in episode 1.
Right. So much has transpired. That was literally like 3.5 months ago.
Wow. I was shocked when they said there's only 2 weeks left, because it feels like it's been no time, but also, yes, a lot of time. So,
yeah, it's because 2 weeks is 5 weeks in our time.
Right. So. Yes, so it's not going to be over in 2 weeks. So.
Yeah, I don't understand. I've talked about this on a few other podcasts of talking about the ultimatum, but I think if Married at First Sight could figure out how to do it in 8 episode, we would still watch.
Yeah, I disagree slightly on that. Because on shows like The Ultimatum and Love is Blind, I feel like we miss like tons of stuff.
We do. Tons.
So I feel like we could make it like, if we can make it 12, I think that'd be perfect.
That's a good number. Yeah, and I'm glad they don't do, because if they follow like the Australia model, I think they would stretch it out even more, where they have, you know, two weddings an episode. I got sucked into one of those episodes the other night because I saw there was a Texas guy getting married to an Australian woman. And so I thought that would be interesting. But yeah, that's slow paced. It was interesting, but it's a very different format.
Mm. Yeah, my mom loves it. Okay. But I haven't been able to get into it yet. I know it's so many episodes, and right now it's just, I mean, you have Survivor on right now, Big Brother Canada. Yes. Just like, where so do you much. Squeeze it in?
And they don't have the same stakes. They don't actually get real married. So.
I haven't stacked up my DVR. I'm maybe in the off season of Mass, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Of American Mass, I should say.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So we are here to talk about episode 14 of season 14. It was the retreat episode. But before we dive into that, we do want to highlight some 5-star reviews that we've received. We really appreciate all of the reviews you guys have sent our way. And like we said, at the end of the season, we're going to select a random 5-star review and we will send you something special. So this week we're going to highlight a couple. So the one I wanted to highlight is from Lindy Loves Music. The subject is The Best Mass Recap. These two give an excellent recap of the show, couple by couple. They say out loud what I am thinking as I watch the show each week, i.e. who is being an idiot, immature, et cetera. I love listening to their take on each couple and where they think each couple is headed. This is a must listen if you are a Mass fan. So thank you so much, Lindy Loves Music.
Yes, thank you, Lindy. The one I'm going to tackle this week is from Caffeinated in Washington. The title is The Only Mass Pod I Listen To. Asia and Jason keep me in stitches every week. The witty commentary makes even the most nothing burger episodes of the show a joy to listen to. I just want to be in the room podcasting with them every week. keep up the fantastic work. Caffeinated in Washington, you are in the room with me. You are sitting right next to me. I feel you. All of our listeners are sitting in the room with us right now. We're all having a big powwow about the show.
Yeah. Yes.
When you hear this after party, like, why aren't these hosts on your show? Come on. Right. Why are you calling the other podcast hosts?
That's what I'm saying. Every week,
I'm just waiting by my phone, just hoping Keisha Knight Pulliam calls me and is like, hey, you free? You want to come on the after party? Then I'll tell her I'll have to check my schedule.
Right.
But I'll say that like while I'm packing, getting ready to go. Oh man. But yeah, let's dive in. This was interesting for a few couples. Just overall, Amy, what are your thoughts on the season so far?
So it's really been kind of a roller coaster. I agree that there's been some nothing burger episodes. It's not like some of these past seasons where we've had a really, really volatile couple that we can rely on every week to cause the drama, or just a really, really awkward couple that's always, you know, like a Jake and Haley, where there's just always going to be like the predictable kind of awkwardness. But then there are some really rootable couples as well. So looking at Jasmine and Michael, Stephen Noy. So yeah, I've been enjoying it. It's just a little slower pace than some of the more recent seasons.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, well, I was going to say, it's like they all want to try to make it work. It's, yeah, what's happening?
That's not what we're used to lately.
Right. But it's just those challenging individuals that make it really hard for three of the four couples.
Well, yeah, almost three of the four couples have a villain. Like to root against.
Yeah.
You know, on three of four. And, you know,
and originally four out of the five.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, Jasmine has kind of crossed over to villainy a couple times. Mm-hmm.
Season. She dipped her toe, but she came out. She was like, that's spicy. I don't want to stay there too long. I'm going to come back.
She's not a constant villain, but I feel like we said, three of the four have a constant villain to root against. So I think that's a good part of the season.
Yeah, my mom texted me while she was watching it. She was like, I like Jasmina again. She has really been doing great. I told her, I said, I never waver. I have liked Jasmina since episode one. And, you know, for all you out there, y'all are just not optimistic about them as a couple or her being able to value him. I know she still has some progress to make, but I feel like she has made some strides.
Yeah. I wouldn't say she's a villain. I've always liked her, but it was just a little bit like, hey, what are you missing? Great guy. What was with that whole like 4 weeks of just nothing happening?
Nothing. Yeah. So we start the episode with 13 days until decision day, which is just kind of wild, you know?
Yeah.
2 weeks. And so pretty much all of the couples were getting ready to go to the retreat. And just for those out there who normally listen to this podcast, we are going to do it a little bit differently this episode, since there was so much overlap and crossover. We're just going to go chronologically throughout the episode. So I know there's one review out there who is happy about that. Katina and Olajuwon, they're getting ready. But the only noteworthy thing was Olajuwon asked Katina, was she ready to show them her cooking skills?
Here we go with this guy again. I feel like, so, I mean, for most of the episode, I was like, okay, Olajuwon's not doing too bad. Okay. And then we hit a big roadblock later in the episode, which we'll get to, but. You know, he starts off just not great.
This whole cooking thing. I mean, and then when the guys are all cooking and he's just sitting there observing.
So. He's in his spot. He's in his spot, sitting at the kitchen island, watching everybody else do the work.
Right. That's what he's playing his role that he normally does at home. And then with Jasmina and Mike, he's asking her, she understands like where they're going, because the way she's packing, it looks like she's going for a 7-day getaway, but she's just like, do you realize who you married? So she's bringing options.
She had to pull out the classic sit on her suitcase in order to zip it up. You know, for how many days were there? Like 3 days.
Yeah. I don't know. When I pack, sometimes I'm like, well, just what if by the off chance, you know, like, something crazy happens and just, you know, you know, I, something prompts me to just, I don't know. Just, I'm going to ruin all of my clothes.
Well,
somehow,
Jasmina,
some way.
Jasmina didn't bring Feeny, but I feel like you probably have about like four suitcases full of Pepper's clothes if you're traveling with Pepper. Yes. So you do pack heavy.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised there were no dogs.
There were none. They're in the air. Yeah. I gotta assume it's like an Airbnb. There must have been like a no pet policy there.
Yeah.
The producers probably seek that out now. They're like, yeah, dealing with this.
Right. I mean, because last season, all we had was Hype, who came to the retreat. But like, yeah, you would think with the size of Sushi and the size of Mr. Feeny, they would want to bring them. But I guess maybe they just didn't want to have to worry about it with doing their like activities and stuff. Mm-hmm. They have bigger things to worry about.
They got to fit all those matching outfits too. So,
right. On the drive there, they, you know, were Jasmina and Mike. Mike pointed out a moose sign. Jasmina was really happy about that, or like excited. And I did notice Mike called her Jazz in his confessional, and I don't feel like we've seen him call her Jazz before.
I feel like we've seen. I think he's done that a lot.
Really? I vividly remember him always saying Jasmina.
I recall like in an argument where they were talking. I think it was when they were talking to Cal, and she would accuse him of bad tone. He's like, Jazz, I so do not. I can like see that in my head. So I think he has it, but I'm sure he does a lot more now since they got a lot more relaxed around each other finally.
Yeah. Cause I was about to give him credit. Like he's getting comfortable with her, but maybe he already.
Yeah, does. I guess I don't remember either way from before, but I definitely noticed it this time. Like at least that it was said like in a very cute way or something.
Yeah. Yes. There was some affection there. And so they're kind of talking about like what they want to get out of the trip. And she obviously continues to say like, she wants to get a deeper connection. And he's like, all right, 1 to 10. Where do you think we are? He's like, 1, like we hate each other. 5 is like a middle ground. And 10 is like Will and Jada.
Will and Jada.
Timely.
Oh my gosh. How did they go into the future and find out that was exactly who we were talking to? Like, talking about like in pop culture. Like, oh my gosh. Like,
yes.
Like, would you smack someone for me? Like, that's what I'm looking for. A 10 is you going to smack someone that's talking crap about me.
Right. Oh my gosh. I could not believe that he said that. Because we've always known Will and Jada, their relationship has been so public, but the fact that that was on this week, that was hilarious.
But that's also, Will and Jada are also interesting for like where they were at the time of filming. Mm-hmm. Like, if we're at a 10, like, would you be okay with having an open relationship?
Yeah, like, entanglement season.
Yeah.
It's a very complex scale here.
Right.
What does the 10 really mean?
Yeah.
Like, but now a 10 is like, would you like fight for my honor? Right. Like, that's where a 10 is at now. For Will.
You're going to clock Lindsay for me.
Right. Oh, gosh. I thought that was just so hilarious. But then we got Noy and Steve. So Noy did say something that was very relatable as they were packing up, getting ready to leave.
Oh, boy, and here we go.
She said she was sad not to have Sushi there because she had already taken Sushi wherever Sushi was going to be while they were going to be at the retreat. And I totally feel that. Like whenever Pepper is not here, there is an emptiness. Her presence is missed and the house feels very empty. And it's like, where is she? I'm expecting her to be running after me right now.
Is she at like a sleepover or something?
Yeah, she could be at a doggy daycare. She goes there sometimes. She went actually earlier this week to get her Easter pictures taken.
Come on.
I'm not lying. I'm not lying. I should be getting that tomorrow.
Did you go to the mall and get them done with the Easter
bunny? I know Petco does it. I've seen it at Petco.
Her doggy daycare. Shout out to Bessel Doghouse. I shouted them out last season. They do seasonal pictures.
In-house. Wow.
Yeah. In-house. So they have one of their people dress up like a bunny and they take pictures.
That's what you can do with Asia wealth money. That's what you can afford.
Oh my god!
Listen, we need the pictures when you get them back. you know, they need to be posted everywhere, obviously.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I will actually post
the pictures.
This is our second year getting them. So I will post this one on Twitter.
Okay.
Wow. So I usually just keep that all on Instagram, but I will share with Twitter.
I love how Steve took the opportunity to pounce on, you know, she said that, oh, people thought he died because I said it was hard to
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you got to be careful what you post on social media.
Steve did not miss one single opportunity this episode.
Never. Yes. That was perfect. I was like, yes, Steve.
Right.
Drive the point home.
She made a face, one of many this mm-hmm. episode. She made a face like
she made whatever. A face like a child that was like pouting because like their parents said something that they didn't like.
Yeah, it wasn't her teenager face. Yeah, very much like
a yeah. Reaction. So yeah, I love that Steve called that out because yeah, maybe you shouldn't put things on social media if you don't want people to assume different things.
Yeah, shows you can take things out of context. People. Yeah, can interpret it a different way.
Exactly. And did y'all notice that when Mark and Lindsay were leaving their apartment, Noah and Steve were leaving theirs at the same time?
Yeah. Yes.
I had no idea they lived across the hall from each other.
They could hear every single argument every single day. Like, listen, I'd be in my apartment like, listen, at least we're not these two over here. You hear that? Yeah. At least we're not Mark and Lindsay. Right. She's screaming at him right now.
Yeah. I like figured it was kind of like for no reason at all. I figured it since they were in the same apartment complex, it was similar to the circle where they're kind of spread out throughout the building.
Right. Yeah, like with production around them and
right.
on top of each other or something.
Yeah. But you know what? I guess it doesn't matter. Why not put them across the hall from each other? Maybe everyone else is next door.
Right.
But that just seems so close. Like I don't know why I think that. I just like that's way close. Like they open the door to each other. Like, you right there in your face.
Yeah.
Oh, like, hey. I don't want you to hear me arguing with my spouse.
Right. Exactly. So they are driving to the retreat, Steve and Noy, and he feels like right now their major issue is needing to come to an understanding about this social media issue. She's like, when I post, it's general. And, you know, she's like, if you think it's about you, that's just how you see it. That's your perspective. And they're just going back and forth at this point. And it's so much that production decided, hey, let's look at our editing tool. What's something we haven't used ever on the show? Oh, let's put that in. I think a square pizza is perfect.
They are literally talking in circles. Like,
yeah, it looks like something from, you know, like, did you have that, like, what is it, photo booth on a Mac or something?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Like 2007, where you're just like, what effect can I do with my face?
Yes. Literally. I was like, what is this?
I did notice that Noy says that they're more comfortable since their last conversation. So I'm just wondering, like, in the whole episode, she did not bring up the job whatsoever. Like,
she didn't. You're right, you're right.
So I'm wondering if, like, he actually showed her, like, the proof. Like, mm-hmm. Listen, we good. Like, chill.
Yeah.
You know, at what was it? It was at good the point. That game, who's most likely game. There was a point, or maybe it was at dinner, that Lindsay was talking and Noy was like, he's good. It was some type of like validation she gave to when she said like she wanted to be a stay-at-home mom.
Oh yeah, that was the most likely game. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was trying to think of like what the exact. I'm gonna have to go back because she did say one small line that made me feel like, oh, she knows he's okay now.
Yeah, so now she doesn't like all the attention is now on what she, you know, like the issue that she is causing.
Yeah, she's like, well, how can I spin this? You're the one because this argument in the car was so childish. Like he's saying, okay, I'm finding that you're unwilling to adjust to my needs for privacy. She turns around and says, "Well, I'm finding that you're unwilling to adjust to my needs for freedom."
Like so childish. And yeah. Like at one moment she's like, you know, I told you it's not about you, but if you want to say it's about you to win the argument, I'm like, win the argument? Like, come on.
It's like okay, you have that mindset. Yeah, like, exactly.
You want to win the argument. Like, that's not how adults act.
Right.
Exactly. Not how they should act, I'll say.
Yeah. And she admitted last week, like, well, I have felt that way. And,
mm-hmm.
Literally. It's like, I didn't steal that thing, but hypothetically, let's say that I did steal it. What would happen if you found out?
Okay. Look, as the only single one here, I'm asking y'all as people in relationships, that isn't that the total opposite way to approach an argument with your significant other of thinking, oh, there's a winner and a loser in this. Isn't it y'all versus the issue?
I mean, well, that's probably the healthy way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it should be. Like I think Dr. Pepper said it last week. She's like, I'm not the problem. You're not the problem. The problem is the problem. That is how it's supposed to be. But sometimes I think, you know, you get off of that a little bit. But I don't think anyone's going to come out and say, I won the argument. Like, that's a little too far.
But you want to get your way sometimes, depending on what it is.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. I mean, Steve does acknowledge that this is hurting their marriage. And like right now, it's an unresolved problem. She's like, OK, that's great.
Like, I guess you have a problem then. He's like, no, it's our problem. It's a you problem, me problem. He's like, no, guess this is your problem.
Yes.
We even had Pastor Cal, like, they're bringing in the experts a lot more. And, you know, he stepped in and told her it was an issue. And it's still going on. So.
She respects what he has to say, but she's her own person, is what she says.
Yeah.
Just crazy. Then she tells us, like, coming into it, that she's not really ready to discuss her issues with the couples at this point. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Privacy is fine. Just all how you depend on approaching it. It's one thing to just be private with your own issues. It's another thing to not even address it with your significant other when they're trying to address it. There's a middle ground.
Do you think that was a sign maybe that she knows she's in the wrong and thought that everyone would be on Steve's side? That's why she didn't want to really bring it up. Oh, yeah.
I definitely thought that was it, because all it would have been was everyone's like, Noi, you know you shouldn't be. You shouldn't do that.
She knew that, so she said, well, that's what was going to happen for sure.
Yep, exactly. So then Mark and Lindsay drive there, and the only noteworthy thing is she insisted on pointing out the road that her old boyfriend used to live down.
Boy, she stays, like, just picking at him for some reason. And she knows he hates it, like, when she, like, pokes him and, like, prods him.
I don't know if she does.
It would be way too much for me. Like, I commend Mark on still being here.
It's like she gets on him so much for not fulfilling her needs, like all of her needs, but she's constantly showing she doesn't know him at all. Like, she knows the issues he has going on in his life, or the things that he's going through in his life right now, because she feels like she needs to fix him. But in her just everyday interaction with him, like, to not know when he's joking, to not know when he doesn't feel like doing something, or to not know if something is annoying him. She never knows that. So it shows me she doesn't know him that well.
She doesn't listen. She's like, she's always talking, but never listening.
Yeah.
And she just, like, it goes in one ear and out the other. He's constantly asking her, don't touch me. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't grab me. And she just continues to do it.
And don't cause a scene. That's his favorite thing.
You would think that's so simple. She just doesn't know how not to. So they all arrive at this log cabin, and when they get there, once all the couples arrive, the men decide to cook, which ends up just mainly being Steve cooking and the guys supporting him.
Listen, when Steve came in and announced what he was cooking, and there were noodles involved, I said, "Oh God, who is on noodle duty? Like, you better have your stuff together, because Steve's not gonna have any al dente noodles going on in this dinner. Watch the noodles, watch them. You gotta be there looking down the pot every second of when you're cooking. It's important."
Hey, as long as someone else is just boiling it and then hands off from there, I think Steve is okay, as long as he's the one that can monitor the firmness of the noodle. So It was funny that Mark acknowledged that he can cook cereal.
Yep. Cold cereal.
Cereal.
Mark's my guy. I feel like we're in almost the same boat. I can put together a little something but if I need to. But yeah. I'm not like a chef in the kitchen. Let me just say it like that.
Can you follow a recipe?
Can I follow a recipe? Yeah, I could follow a recipe. I think I would do a lot better if I had like exact measurements. Mm-hmm. I think I would do that well. I'm good at like following direction. So yeah. But if you ask me like, if you gave me no direction and no measurements, it was like, hey, just make this. I'd be like, nope.
A little of this, a little of that.
Yeah, my wife does that. Like, I make stuff and my wife makes stuff and she goes on feel, right? Mm-hmm. I can't do that. Like, I'm like, no, I need to measure everything out, put it in and cook it for this amount of time. She's like, no, I'll just feel when it's done. Like, how does that even work? Like, we have a timer on the stove. She never uses it. I'm constantly using it when I'm cooking whatever I'm cooking.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I'll just know when it's done. I'll feel it in my bones, I guess. I don't know. Like,
oh, I would forget that I even put something in the oven.
Yeah. You have a timer. Yeah. Yeah. See, the only spice that I can't just feel it is salt, because I'm so afraid of oversalting. Because what, like, unless you're this professional chef, how do you come back from oversalting something?
You can't do salt bay and do the art.
Yeah. I mean, you could. So Steve cooks this shrimp Alfredo, and this gives the guys an opportunity to kind of catch up, because at the same time, the girls are in the jacuzzi. And so Mark says, like, what he's learned about Lindsay, especially the fact that they haven't argued in the past 2 days, is that she's a really good partner. And so he's just really balancing of like, okay, he knows she's a good partner, but, you know, everything else that he's dealt with, like, can he deal with that? And then they kind of move on to Mike and Jasmina, and Olajuwon, he's like, I could tell you and you and Jasmina are closer. I prayed on it.
He's very invested.
Yeah.
They want double dates.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, I enjoyed the fact that he was invested in that relationship.
And Mike was like, oh, really? Oh my God. Thank you so much. Really? Yeah.
It's like Mike wanted to say, oh, that was so sweet.
But it seems like those two couples are like the perfect double date couples. Like,
yeah.
Mike and O get along. Jasmine and Katina are like best friends.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. But Mike feels like they're racing the clock. He feels like, similar to Jasmina, how, you know, they spent the first month not talking to each other. And then the second month, now they're in the second month and they're like, okay, we only have half the time. And now it's just like, he feels like they can't have any dips, because at this point, any dips will be a cliff and they won't be able to recover from it. And so I feel like it's a good point.
Yeah. I like Steve was like, well, you know, sometimes dips are good. He's like, no,
not having it.
You don't get it. We cannot have, please. We cannot have a freaking dip. We have a dip. We're dead. It's over.
No dips, no blips.
Yeah.
Blips, maybe. No dips.
Yes.
I do feel like Mike is like walking on eggshells. Like, it's like, I can't say one word wrong or this is going to just self-destruct.
I don't know. I was going to talk about it a little bit more later when they do the medium thing. But I feel like this Mike, who isn't, when they're not in that state of not talking to each other, this Mike is way more attractive, because
are you switching now from you just made Steve your boo last week? Are you going back to Mike this week?
You know, I'm great with Steve. What Steve and I have is solid, but I'm not blind to the fact that Mike, his confidence with Jasmina now, I could see why. Things are going well. I mean, they're not going as well as they could be going, but things are progressing, because he's easygoing. He's like playful sometimes. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of Mike I like to see.
You're not blind to those arms either, I guess.
I haven't seen him in a while.
No, I can totally see that. Like, the banter they have when they're, yes, you know, hosting the games, and like the playful side comes out, and you know, he's been through so much in his life that to just, mm-hmm, see like that lightheartedness and, yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, when I think about like chemistry of, you know, in the history of Married at First Sight, I think Mike and Jasmina are like top five, gotta be.
Wow.
I think. When it's working.
Yeah, when it's working. Yeah, that's the tough part. Why can't it always work? What is getting in their way? Besides the fact that she's just not feeling it. Oh, yeah. The attraction. Well, yeah, so what do you think, Amy? Do you feel that she is attracted to him?
I don't know why she would be saying she's not. But I wonder if there's just like something holding her back, or if there's like a certain type of guy she's always been attracted to. Mm-hmm. And like she can't really connect the dots, like that, oh, this guy is really great, but there's something like that's different, or I don't know, like, because I would think that attraction could grow between them, and obviously he's attracted to her, but I don't know if it's just like some sort of roadblock in her mind or barrier she's putting up, but it could be that she's just not, for whatever reason. I think she recognizes he's a good looking guy. She said that. So I don't get it personally, but
right. Exactly. It's kind of weird, because I mean they were on the same page, because literally at the same time Jasmina is in the hot tub saying like she's nervous about the fact that they only have a month, because she feels like she's not sure if she's going to have those feelings for him by decision day, because you know if she doesn't, it's going to be hard to say yes. And then with Steve and Noi, Steve's like, all right, guys, how can we resolve our issues without Noi going on social media? Olajuwon is just like, if it hurts your feelings, she needs to stop. It's like, Olajuwon is always a good sounding board, except when it comes to his own relationship. 100%. So it's like, I'm having to learn, I'm especially this episode, I've started to kind of, I'm having to just understand my feelings about Olajuwon. And I feel like it's him in a relationship is what I am not a fan of. Mm-hmm. But I can tolerate him as a friend to these guys.
Yeah. He can understand other people's perspectives. But then, when it's his own situation, it's one way, 100%. Yes. It's where you're the highway.
Like, the only way I've done it is the only way to do it.
Yeah.
Yep. Or even if he's never done it, it's just, this is what I thought marriage would be like. So, I used to cook for myself, but now she's here.
Now I have a wife. Yeah. So, why do I need to do that?
It's impossible for me to cook now. I have a wife.
Yeah. Did y'all notice his face when Steve was like, I'm doing everything. I cook 5 nights a week.
Elijah was like, 5 nights a week? Like, his mouth was just like a gate. Like, what? No. Come on. Like,
you're making me look bad.
Elijah's like, I cook breakfast a couple times a week. It's the best I can do.
I can whip up some eggs.
Right. But then out in the jacuzzi, Lindsay's saying like, oh, yeah, Mark has been hit hard. I'm going to have to help him so much next week. And, you know, I'm having to see, like, do I want to play the role of mom? Similar to how, like, Rudy pointed out on the after party. She's like, Mark, I don't recall you ever asking her to do any of these things. All these things that she's pointing out that she has to do for you. When did you ask her to do these things? Because she acts like it's such a burden. Sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, if you can't do something nice without reminding someone that you've done it, please don't do it.
Right.
Like, because it's the worst thing. Like, if, like, you know, we're on a network where a lot of people watch Survivor, so I'll make a parallel to that. Like, you know, in that season where the contestant Angelina got them all rice, she cannot stop reminding everybody she got rice in order to gain herself some favor, you know, in the tribe. So she thought, but she did it so much that everybody really resented her for it.
Yes.
So that's kind of like what's happening here with Lindsay. Like, you keep reminding this man that you're saving him, basically. And you're not even really saving him, right?
Yes.
You're helping him out, but if he weren't here, those things probably still would have gotten done.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think he was always the people pleaser, the caring one. I think that's why they pair them together, that she's good at doing that as well and can help him out. But yeah, I don't think he was forcing her to come with to clear out his apartment or any of those things.
Right.
She might be maybe imposing on him in some cases, but she definitely Absolutely. Likes to get attention for anything she has done for him.
Yeah.
His weight yeah, loss, whatever it may be.
Literally. So the comedian that was on the after party said, like, she was like, Lindsay is the type of person that's like, I'm going to give you the shirt off my back, but I'm going to remind you that I'm wearing it. Mm-hmm. Or that you're wearing it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's just, it's just irritating. And Jasmina does tell us in the confessional that Lindsay is very dramatic. But
Jasmina was giving it to Lindsay on the after party. I like that a lot.
Yes. And Rudy tried to say on the after party, like, oh, Lindsay, we're not coming at you. Jasmina's like, no, I yeah. am.
Yeah.
So yeah, we didn't really get anything about Noi or like from Noi's perspective besides things are great in the jacuzzi. And really anything from Katina, I don't believe.
Shocker.
Right. True. So then, yeah, now it's time for dinner. Now it's time to eat the great food that Steve had prepared. And so, you know, they're like, Olajuwon, they're like all sitting, of course, next to their significant other. And Olajuwon points out that Mark is looking nice and slim right now. And Lindsay's like, look, I've limited his sugar or his salt intake. And he said he hasn't been fit since his 20s. And she's just like, And it's just like, what?
So weird. Like, she's like maniacally laughing, making weird grunts. Like,
what would you do if I wasn't here? Like,
yes.
Yep, I saved you.
Just like, and Mark is just looking terrified. Just and she thinks it's comical at this point, but these are the moments when he's actually serious. He does joke at times, but this right here is serious Mark. Like, he's legitimately doesn't know the next thing that's going to come out of her mouth. So he's just like looking at people, like trying to see their reaction. It's just like, oh my gosh,
he's trying to get some help. Like, he's screaming for help with his eyes. He's like, if y'all see this, like, yes. Like just so y'all know, it's not me, right? Like, she is nuts,
right?
And they're all picking up on it now because they're even making impressions of the way he looks, and noticing when he doesn't look like that. So.
Right. Yeah, so they're just like talking about the fact that they're all here at this retreat, and she jokes that like one of them is not leaving, and she's laughing so loud, and Noi's like, Lindsay's laugh is crazy right now, and it's just like, once again, Lindsay's proving that she does not have the ability to read a room, because how do you not notice your volume?
She's already got into the wine, I think. Like, she probably came in with bottle in hand, like, and she was drinking on the way. Like, right. Lindsay's ready.
It's just like, who? I mean, I'm sure people know people like that that are just like, their volume is way louder than everyone else's, and they have no idea. Mm-hmm. And that's literally Lindsay, except it's like her personality is times 10. So then it's just like, girl, where do you think you are? You're not matching the vibe. At all.
No, no one's playing off of that.
Yeah.
Lindsay thinks that she is the vibe. Lindsay thinks that she is the vibe setter. But like, right. Nobody wants to get to Lindsay's vibe and Lindsay's volume. Like, nobody wants to get there.
They're just like, if you see me acting like that, please let me know. Yeah. I don't want to ever be viewed like that. So Mike points out, like, with him and Jasmina, that they've realized their issue and how they need to go deeper. And since their last conversation, he's been opening up more and, you know, they're doing better. And then they transition to Lindsay and Mark talking about how, you know, Mark, she feels like Mark will explain, like, whenever they get into those disagreements or whatever, Mark explains that those are just blips. Everyone loved this. Yeah.
Just me like, yeah, me and my shorty had a blip. Like,
yeah. They even named the episode that.
Yeah.
I know, it was so earth-shattering, I guess.
Right. It's like, oh, I guess this is new terminology. They're like, oh, I'm using that. That's great. They're laughing.
What are the chances that the experts next season, then they're going to like incorporate like, this is just a blip. Right. It's like become the new lingo.
They can use blips and dips.
Yeah.
Yes.
From Steve earlier.
Right. All thanks to Mark. Katina points out that she thinks that, you know, they're doing really well right now. Olajuwon's like, I got to give Katina all the credit because she's putting in all the effort. And then we cut to a confessional with them too. And he's like, this is the first relationship I'm in where I'm not the leader. She's like, yeah, because it's a partnership.
So what are we not seeing? I feel like this couple more than any other. There is just so much that we're not seeing. I feel like he's using his fake like motivational speaker voice with this also.
Yes.
Like, you know, whenever he speaks to in a confessional where he like speaks to an expert, he puts on the, you know, the fake affect of like, you know, the motivational speaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, I'm seeing a lot of progress out of Katina. And it's like really she has to go to him. Yeah. She has to go to him for approval, I feel like. She's reached some milestone in their relationship.
Right. Ugh. It's just cringe. Anytime I see him in the context of this relationship, I'm just like, what's happening? Somebody talk to Katina separately, no camera, so we can get how she really feels.
Are you okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Blink twice if you need us to extricate you from this situation.
Right. Because he just overtalks her constantly. And so then we go to Steve and Noi. And we already know at this point, Noi has already kind of explained to us that she didn't really want to get into their issues. And at this point, she hasn't. But Steve has been out and open with the guys talking about it. And so he asked her, he's like, well, because they asked, like, how are y'all doing? And Steve points to her and he's like, hey, are you comfortable talking about the social media issue? And she's like, well, no, I'm not really comfortable talking about it. And he's like, okay, well, that's a little strange because social media is so public. And you don't want to talk about it here. So I don't get that. And Noi feels like he's trying to ambush her.
So like, you know, I see where Noi's coming from here. Like, hey, I'm just posting vague stuff on social media. If I have to talk about it here, I have to get into specifics.
Yeah.
I don't want to do because I know I'm dead wrong.
Right.
And like throughout the whole episode, it's like Steve is just taking any opportunity. Like I feel like Noi goes to the bathroom and like when she comes out, Steve is like waiting outside the door, like, so you ready to talk yet?
Right. About social media.
Right. Talk about her issues.
Exactly.
I wonder if he's getting I kind of got the feeling that he was getting, I have to imagine that the producers are coming to them like, well, what are you going to talk about with the other couples? And are there any issues you have to work on? And they're probably pressured to at least bring something to the table. And so he's putting the effort in to like bring some content here. And
yeah,
she won't have it. You know, remember Danielle and Bobby, like they would never talk about any problems. And it was so boring.
Exactly.
They literally didn't have problems, I guess.
You know? I was thinking also of like Jessica and Austin. Their only problem was that he wouldn't say he loved her yet.
Right. Yeah. And so in front of the other couples, there was no complaints, nothing. And
yeah freaking double A, Anthony and Ashley, same thing.
Oh, yes. Which is funny because we don't have a single couple like that. That is just nothing. Like some couples might chill for certain episodes, but everybody, for the most part, has like we can talk about them.
Yep. Well, we didn't have that last season, did we?
Yeah, because Jose and Rachel were pretty explosive at that one point, but then they refused to discuss anything after that. Maybe we didn't have it last season since none of the couples worked out.
Yeah, I feel like Vincent and Brianna are our last like really boring couple.
Mm-hmm. And he just had his moments of just
went through his shirts.
Right. Exactly. So Noi does not want to talk about it and just makes things at the table awkward because everyone's just like, well, y'all are you're opening that can of worms now, right? Mm-hmm. And now that you don't want to talk about it, we're like, well, why don't you?
Right, and all the guys know what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought it was so funny. He's like, He asked her, like, you want to talk about it? She's like, no, I don't want to. He's like, well, can I ask why? She's like, because I don't. And he's like, okay, I get that you don't want to talk about it, but
let me,
don't you want to talk about the fact that you want to, we want to say things in public? Like she accused him later on, like, well, you did bring it up. Like, he did kind of bring it up, like, without bringing it up.
But I get his point. Like, he didn't bring up what the actual issue was. He brought up his issue with talking about the issue.
That's a way of working around it. Like, he brought it up and not brought up at the same time.
Yeah. So, like, right after the dinner, they're like in bed. He's like, you want to talk about it now? She's like, no, I don't really. And he's like, well, when do you want to talk about it? She's like, I just don't think it's appropriate to talk about it while we're on this vacation with other people. And, you know, she's just like, yeah, like you said, she said that, you know, he did end up bringing it up, but the actual issue is her posting about him to other people and, you know, basically subtweeting him, but lying about it and saying it's not about him when she admitted it was about him. So anyway, they have no resolution, but Steve doesn't want to go to bed angry. And so he asked her to switch sides of the bed because she did say she wanted a certain side of the bed, and then they cuddle.
I just picture, like, Noi waking up in the middle of the night, and, like, Steve is, like, facing her.
Yeah.
So, are you ready? You want to talk about it?
Yeah.
Steve, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm just trying to go back to sleep.
Or grabbing her phone, posting something.
Yeah. Like,
when you don't want to talk about something and you're forced to.
Right. Exactly.
Listen, the best way to combat this, okay, is to give her a taste of her own medicine.
True.
Start posting on social media, like, you know, it's really awful when you live with someone with constant diarrhea. And leave it at that. Be like, why are you saying I have constant diarrhea? Like, I didn't say it was you.
I didn't tag you.
It could have been sushi. I didn't say it was you. I live with sushi, too.
I used to have roommates. It could have been them.
Yeah.
It was general. What are you talking about? Just, you know, general statement. I just want people to
assume
know that.
It's you, that's their problem. Like, you know?
I wonder if he like a not a social media person, and that maybe is like one of their like big differences, and that it's the producers or his sister-in-law telling him about it. And, you know, is he just like against people that are on social media all the time?
You think she like blocked like his post, like him from seeing her posts, like
hide so stories from Steve.
Yeah, so she just crap talk him all the time. He didn't see it, and like you said, Amy, his family's like, what's going on here? He's like, I don't know, I didn't even see that.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I don't think he's not a social media person, because he even said like, look, I'm not saying anything about what you post about yourself. I'm saying just don't post stuff about me or about our relationship that's mm-hmm. negative. And even the way he said it last episode, like anything to show that we're in distress. Just, mm-hmm. I love Steve.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I could see it going either way. Like, he might post updates and stuff, especially since he is a, what has he said? He has like entrepreneurial endeavors. Like, true. He has to have some way to make contacts and network with people. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
So then we start getting to all the individual dates. Each of the couples have something planned with just themselves out at this retreat. And so Jasmina set up a medium with Michael. So since we've like discussed previously, Michael has lost a lot of people in his life, like his mom, his brother, his dad, his grandma. And so she set up this medium, and she did prepare him beforehand. She was like, you know, I know you didn't know what a medium was before we talked about this. So like, are you mentally prepared? I just want to make sure that you're good. Because, you know, you might start hearing things that are pretty deep. And I just want to make sure that you're prepared. And I really like this from her, because it just showed a level of like care that she has for him as a person at this point. Like, even if it's just like a friendship level at this point, not sure. But I appreciated the act of getting the medium and then being supportive as they headed into it before they got to it.
Well, I did peep, like, you know, at like the end of that, like Mike like grabs her hand and they're just like holding hands in the bed. Mm-hmm. Like, see, this is what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Good job, yes. Michael. You're listening to Pastor Cal. You listen to your mentor. Right.
Let's do it. Little by little. A little handhold here. A little waist grab there. You know, it'll take you a long way.
Sit closer together on the couch. They're big right. on that. Brush your right. teeth together.
We hug.
Yeah. I'm like, the whole cast hugs each other. Right. So
probably those weak side hugs too, like, you know, right. I even get our whole bodies involved,
right? So then it's the morning time. It's the morning of doing all these little activities, and so Lindsay and Mark, they're waking up, but Lindsay is being very aggressive about waking him up. She's trying to wrestle him, basically. She's kissing him on his neck, and he's like, stop. It's too much.
You ought to kiss me like I'm candy.
Yeah. He said, I'm not licorice. Okay. Do people eat licorice? Like, when you think of the sweetest type of candy, are you thinking licorice?
No.
It's like, what, Mark? Do you know what candy is? she just says, like, getting him out of bed is always a challenge because he goes to bed early, but then he sleeps in later. They have this interaction before heading out to get, they're drinking coffee on the porch. Casual conversation. He says, look, today I have a sound bath set up for us today. And, you know, because you always get, you know, because you like to get hyper. This apparently was the rudest thing he could have said to her. She just shuts down. She thinks he's rude. She says, she's like, it's not funny, Mark. He's like, it's not funny, haha, but it's funny, he.
Trying to make it light. And
yeah.
He's trying to like to bring it back to the side of jokey, but like she's just not having it.
Oh, she was just like, she acted like he had called her out of her name. And like everyone involved was confused at this point, because even the producers, like, mid, like, they're still in this scene, and the producer's like, Lindsay, are you upset?
Yeah, like, I didn't get it either.
Yeah,
it's like, wait, are you for real, man? Yeah. Are you just playing right now? Like, right. We need to know.
She's like, yeah, he's been rude to me constantly since we got out of the bed. I feel like a punching bag. And in her confessional, she's like, I'm just going to help him get his cat on Wednesday, and then I'm going to send him on his merry way.
What was that?
Like, what? Yeah, what happened with his cat?
She's like, I'm going to help him with his cat on Wednesday, and then he can go. Yeah. What's happening with his cat?
Right. And it's just like, it's so, I just don't get it. Like, he says he's joking. But we even see later when they revisit Mark and Lindsay that she's like, he was like, it was just a joke. And she's like, you always want to say it's a joke, but all I need to hear is an I'm sorry. What?
I mean, just this coming from Lindsay is just like the ultimate in like just a joke. Like, what? Like, do you listen? Do you hear yourself, Lindsay? Like, right. 98% of the time? Like, and it'll get even worse later.
Yes.
But like, I don't. It just the way just the, her mood just snap changed. Yep. Like, mm-hmm. You can see it, like, instantly. In the moment where it changed. Crazy.
You can tell he's just always so fearful because he doesn't know what's going to set her off. And mm-hmm. That was a moment where he was definitely not expecting it.
Right. So. He's like, wow. Like, literally, I joked with her and that set her off. Now I don't know what to say. Like, mm-hmm. I might as well not say anything at this point. So then we move on to Katina and Olajuwon, and they are at a farm, and she's doing this because she knows he loves animals, and so she just wants to be fearless like he is. So they run up on some alpacas, or what did he call them? Llamas.
Gazebo.
Gondolas, gazebos. Who knows what these animals are?
It's like, what? And so that was hilarious because he called them everything out of the sun, even things that aren't animals. And they just so happen to be lucky enough to see baby alpacas be born. Even the mom had some placenta drop out.
Oh, no. Come on. That was, I did not need to see that. No.
Like, yeah, the afterbirth. And the farmer just casually is like, the dogs are going to rip that apart.
Oh, my gosh. No.
It's like, where was the trigger warning? I did not know I was going to be watching a bird.
That should have been blurred. That should have been blurred.
Yes. Come on, Lifetime. What was that?
You can't be throwing that in my face like it's nothing.
Gosh, I was eating dinner.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was chewing bubble gum. I had to throw it out.
Oh, that was
like, yeah. Tina was like, OMG, be a lady. Like, cover that up.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I would have been perfectly fine if they had told us that had happened and they just got Katina Lajuan's like reaction to it. But they said, let's put it in. Let's show
it. Super close up on that thing. It, like, they showed it dropping literally from her. Like, like it was swinging.
It was too much. Oh, I keep visualizing it. I can't
get out of my head.
Yeah. So then they end up walking an alpaca together and they're having fun. They're running and he says it's so sexy to see her be so involved with the animals. Because people are into, you know, whatever. Okay, so
no, go ahead and finish that. I want you to illuminate that.
No, there was nothing else that needed to be said there.
You were taking it to a place. I want to hear.
So they had a picnic, and she wants to start having deeper conversations about their future. And just when you thought we were about to have a smooth episode with Katina and Olajuwon, no issues, no having to be like, what is this man thinking? He decides, okay, perfect. This is a great opportunity to start talking about the future. When do you finish school? And she's like, 2 years. He's like, okay, how do you plan on having kids in 2 years if you're just getting out of school? He's like, you're going to have to put your career on hold. I'm sorry, Olajuwon. Are there no women in their careers who have babies?
There are none. In Olajuwon's world, when you're having a baby, you're useless. You just have to, you know, just sit there and have your baby and, you know, that's it.
I'm sorry. Last time I heard, maternity leave wasn't 2 years. Three years.
No, I love that she was like, people have babies all the time.
Yes.
At any point in their lives.
And he's just trying to like, he's trying to press his point home, even though she's already at this point say like, no, I'll be fine. He's like, well, I've paid off everything. Like, I've paid off everything. So now that I can have fun. I didn't do anything for 5 years. So now that I can have fun. And you're just doing the opposite. Like, you took some time to have fun and now you're trying to like work on things. So I just want you to like understand that.
I don't think he realizes that he's like, he's in the minority here. Like, most people don't do what he did.
Right.
Great that you did it, but I mean, that's not most people.
Yeah, it's like he wants to project it on her. Like, well, now you have to do that. You have to learn your lesson. Mm-hmm. I'm not paying for this kid. You have to earn all the money for this kid.
But then he does the thing where, like, he does it a lot. He's like, I'm not saying nothing's wrong with that.
Right.
not saying that. But something's really wrong with it.
Like, he's like, it's okay. And she's like, I know it's okay. He's like, I'm just trying to, in the confessional, he's like, I'm just trying not to put pressure on myself because she decided to do this.
Like,
and he's like, and I know you're older. Oh my God.
She's probably less than a year older than him. Right. I think she's 30 and he's 29, if I remember their little ages right. Like,
You being elderly. Yes. That
tone. Your later days.
That was just like, you did not just say flat out to her face that she's older. And he's like, and I know, like, I want to travel. And like, if you want to have kids in 2 years, it's not realistic. She's like, I know what I can do. Okay.
Like, I put in bold, like, get him, Katina. Finally, you stand up for yourself. Yes.
Oh my God.
Like, he was just like, he said, you know, you having kids is going to affect me.
Yeah.
Are you
not going to be the father?
You're the father. He's like, and I know you're not established. So, and I don't want to put all that on myself. I was like, what?
So, you're not going to support your wife? Apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. Two trips a month. Oh, is that not putting your career on hold? Because who has that much vacation time?
Right.
And then he's like, oh, look, I just don't want to have to take care of a kid and someone else. Wow. I'm sorry. What is a family?
I wanted to you know, give him some of his stuff. Like, you are married. Like,
right.
That is what marriage is. Like, you support each other. No matter how you need to support each other, you get it done because you love this person and you know, want to support each other. Like,
yeah.
I don't understand.
I was kind of blown away that this conversation was happening because it's just like, does he not understand that his thought process and the way he thinks about it is not the definitive way that things have to happen?
He thinks his way is the only way. That mm-hmm. He thinks his way is perfect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the way everything should be done by everybody in the world.
And the way that he brought this up was like, oh, he's thought about it. Like, he's thought about, okay, she's in school. She has a job right now. He acts like she's a full-time student. She has a job. She was doing fine before this, like providing for herself as an adult woman. And he is acting like she is a 19-year-old who has 2 years left in undergrad and is trying to figure out their way in life.
Mm-hmm. I felt like he was almost trying to catch her. Like, so when do you want kids? 2 years? When mm-hmm. do you finish school? Like, he just had his like arguments all lined up. And
it's like, just, oh,
I don't see a problem.
I hate when people ask questions they already know the answer to. Because mm-hmm. you're just trying to make a point that just is already going to annoy me. Like, don't do that.
Got an agenda with that.
Right. So this was just, he says in a confessional, I want a woman who's established in her career.
So you don't have that, sir. So what are you going to do?
Right.
Like this is, that's not Katina. I know he was like, I really like Katina though. And it's deep, but you know, we don't have to think about that. Like, okay.
Yeah, we had some feedback from one of our listeners, aka one of my best friends. She said, from Gabby, she said, is Olajuwon still concerned about a quote unquote traditional man, even when he expects his wife to be established in her career? If Katina is established in her career in cooking and cleaning, what is he bringing to the table?
Very good point. Mm-hmm. Very good point.
Facts. Yeah. Money. I think he thinks if he provides, I think if he thinks he provides financially, and who's to say, like, we didn't.
Yeah.
Then he, and he has a house. He thinks that that's enough.
He's like, I did my job. I got you a house.
Yeah.
But Elijah was one of those guys that are like, you know, well, what do I bring? I'm going to protect you. Like, how many times am I going to need protection in my life? Like,
yeah.
Like, how many times are you going to need to beat somebody up? Like, cause they're trying to, like, hurt me or something. Like, that's not really bringing a lot. Like, but I'm here cooking and cleaning for you every day. Like,
yeah,
that seems like an imbalance.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so enough about them and him specifically. So Steve and Noi do their date, which is kind of like they're doing a lot of fun things. They do bobsledding, they jump on a trampoline, they do this big swing. And she just wants to do more fun stuff like this.
it's like, cause ever since we've been married, all we're doing is having serious talks. Like, she's like a little kid, like, I don't like to have serious talks. I want to have fun.
Yeah. It's like, girl, what?
You're talking about adult stuff all the time.
Right? I can't just jump on my bed and be my alter ego noisy and run through fields anymore.
Exactly. And he does feel like she's just trying to sweep things under the rug, and she's just trying, like, she's trying to get by without having that social media conversation. And she thinks it just boils down to they're still learning how to trust each other.
So I didn't get this. Like, she brought this up and I was like, wait, what? Like, you kind of like just snatched that out of the blue. Like, what does trust have to do with this social media issue?
Yeah.
I feel like that didn't match.
Yeah, because it's like that would be him trusting that what she's posting is not about him. But he can't do that because she has posted about him before.
100%. Like, and I don't like how are you going to resolve this issue? Like, I feel like this is a very cut and dry resolve. Either Noi's going to, keep posting about it, or she's not. I'm not sure what else they need to talk through. I feel like Steve has made his point, and Noi is being very stubborn and very childish and stomping her feet and saying that she's not going to stop.
Right.
I think Steve just needs to figure out, like, if he can deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is this like a compromise that he wants? But that those activities did look pretty fun. Not going to lie.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. And I get her point of like, we missed the dating phase. So they didn't have, they got to go on the honeymoon right away, but they didn't have that like, oh, we go out and have fun activities, getting to know each other type of thing. So it's like, yeah, that can continue when you get back to Boston and can do fun things together. But you also have to have conversations about issues.
Yeah.
I mean, I got her point. It's just the way she likes, she said it. She's like, and all we've been doing is having serious talks.
Yeah.
I just do fun stuff.
Exactly. And so then Mark and Lindsay, before they got to their sound bath activity, he made a fire for her, and she walks up and says that she has seen better fires.
Always gotta put them down.
And she's still mad. She said he's so quick. Like I said earlier, he's so quick to make a joke about things, and she just wants to hear an I'm sorry. And he apologizes for upsetting her. He's like, she's explaining how this all, like, what she thought about all of this. And he's like, you got all of that from me saying that you're hyper? She's like, yes.
Insane.
Oh, gosh. So, yeah. So, Jasmina and Mike, this is where we meet the medium Lauren.
So, I feel like this is going to be extremely divisive. But I'm going to go ahead and put it out there.
Okay? Whoa. Watch what you say.
I know. I've learned my lesson. I'm going to try not to be so inflammatory, coming after people like dog moms. So, how do we feel as a panel about the practice of a medium?
I believe in it.
Okay, I'm skeptical.
Thank you. Two against one, we win.
I don't know, especially with, I'm definitely skeptical of this one.
Okay, fair. I am too, because she was blurring the lines of, I'm like, I thought you were a medium, not just a psychic.
But yeah, this is what they do, though. They're like, I feel like there's a lot of boys in your family. He's like, nah, just a lot of girls. She's like, but you will have a lot of boys in the future. Like, they put everything onto the future. Like, if you say no to it, like, oh, what's going to happen in the future then? So that they don't have to be accountable when they're wrong.
Yeah, Jason, I'm getting something about the lottery. Has anyone in your family won the lottery? Oh, you might win it.
Like, yeah, right. You're going to win it in 2 years.
Like, okay, great. I'm paying you.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, so, okay. I was skeptical about her, yes. But mediums in general, I'm kind of the same as Jasmina, where she did preface this by saying she's seen a lot of shows about mediums, as have I. Okay. And that's been my only exposure to mediums. I do have friends who have visited mediums before, and they were just like, look, the things they were saying, there's no way that they would know that about my past. And it's not general things. Like, we did hear her say, like, specific ages, right? But that everything else that she was talking about.
Was there kind a traumatic of, event in between the ages of 3 and 6? Like, I think
my answer would be no.
Okay, but I think, like, most of the, like, there are going to be a lot of people that have had some kind of traumatic issue between 3 and 6. Like, a relative died would be traumatic. Like, it depends on what you mean as traumatic. Like, and if you say no, she's going to be like, well, when you have a child, When they are between right. 3 and 6, they're going to have traumatic right. events.
That's what I'm picking up. Because you were 3 and yeah. Okay.
You're repressing it then. That must be it.
Right. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not quite sure where they found her.
She sounded like she was from Boston. Like she had like a Boston yeah. accent. Like did they truck her up from Boston? Like,
yeah. Yeah. Cause they're in Vermont, right? How far is that?
I don't feel like it's that far, but you know,
a couple hours.
Yeah. I don't know how the East Coast works. Kind of blows my mind.
You just don't know how the East Coast works in general. Like as a concept. Yeah.
How are they still functioning out there?
Yeah. Right. Like living in Texas, like the fact that it takes me it could take me 4 hours to drive from Houston to Dallas. Mm. Like there's no train that can even take me from right. Houston to Dallas or to Austin. So I'm so used to like everything is far and up there. You can yep. just like hop on a train and go to a different state. Like that blows my mind.
What?
Can't you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I guess.
Austin to Rhode Island or.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the weird part is like you can drive an hour and be somewhere. I don't know. You can cover a few states in a few hours.
Oh, right.
Sure, I guess.
Like for know-it-alls in New York, you're not going to have to fly, right, Jason?
True. Exactly. That's true.
So that's what I'm like. Going to Dallas and I don't want to have to deal with the trip and it's a cheap flight, then I would catch a flight. Mm-hmm. It's like okay. a 45 minute flight.
I can see the point. You win the argument, Asia.
No, it's us against the East Coast.
Oh, okay.
He is East Coast.
right. So let's see. So the medium was there to help with, she said she was there to help with some healing that was needed. And she was seeing a blow to the chest between the ages of 3 and 5. And he's like, oh man, my brother was shot in the chest. And then she's like, okay, was there a 13-year difference?
He had to tell her that he was shot first.
He did.
So that was not, like, I don't know.
I was seeing something about chest. Yeah. Somebody's chest.
Yeah. And then she said that was there a 13-year age? She's seeing 13 years. And there was a 13-year age difference between her brother.
His brother could have been 13 yeah. years old. Like, there's still ways around it.
Yeah, I'm seeing 13 years. Like, it could be anything. Like, yeah. He was 13 years old. You know, 13 could be a number for anything. Because he did say that he was shot when he was Michael was 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And I think, like, for your brother to be shot, it would probably be an older than you by a good margin if you're 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like she had a good range there. She was 13 years.
I see y'all finding the holes.
I used to watch this show that came on like a while ago. It was called The Mentalist. Mm-hmm. And like he was basically like a fake, like one of these people. Mm-hmm. And he would explain like on the show like how he did these tricks.
Mm-hmm. So you know.
I know. I mean, I don't remember most of it, but I remember him explaining like how he like, because he would do these like readings on people like on the show,
mm-hmm.
and then like he would talk to other characters about like how he figured it out.
Gotcha. So she sees prostate, and he said, "Oh, my father passed away from prostate cancer," and she's like, "Do you have any twins in your family?" He's like, "Well, nope. Oh, I have triplets." She's like, a year and a half from now, I see some twins.
You're going to have twins.
You're right. And Jasmine was like, hey, I've always wanted twins, so I don't know how she would know that.
I think that's still a common thing that people might
yeah.
like talk yeah. about two babies in one.
Right.
Yeah.
One and done. Yeah. But then she's transitions into the psychic route. She's like, I'm seeing a boat. I'm seeing that like right when he saw you, he fell in love right away. And I feel like y'all are supposed to be together.
Yeah, I'm kind of with that woman that was on After Party, where it's like, okay, is it that much of a stretch to be like, oh, you were in love with Jasmina, love at first sight, like she's gorgeous.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And then she ended her session by saying, like, okay, if y'all don't end up together, Mike, it's going to take you 5 years to find someone. Jasmine, it's going to take you a year and a half.
This was so weird.
That was like, the weirdest part. What?
It'll take you 5 years to find somebody like her.
Right.
But for you, only a year and a half to find somebody like this bum over here.
So you're saying that we're supposed to be someone else.
Right.
Right. So we will find someone else. Not? Like, got it.
Are you looking in the multiverse? Like, what's happening? Like, you see in two different realities.
Right. So with Mark and Lindsay's sound bath, Lindsay sensed that she sensed her grandfather. And when it was time to wake up at the inn, Mark was still asleep and he had a spider on his chest.
Can we talk about like Hobo Timothy Chalamet? Like where'd they find this guy? Like,
right.
It felt like this guy, like a camera guy, to like pretend that he was a sound bath person.
I liked
how more like straight out of Vermont, though, I would say.
Oh, okay. Is that the vibe of Vermont?
The vibe in Vermont.
Yeah, I did like how they had the volume up, kind of like, we're trying to make y'all a part of this experience.
I closed my eyes for a little bit. I was like, yeah. Is this gonna work on me?
I'm Mark in this scenario. I'm falling asleep. Yeah.
So that was a nice little, as they pointed out on an after party, it was a nice date with no talking, just what they needed.
Very smart by Marky there.
Right. Then all the couples come back together. They do a field day. Mike and Jasmine are the hosts. Mike has a shirt that says, what does it say?
It said boss. The boss and the real boss.
Yes.
Jasmina had the real boss shirt on.
Yes, that was really cute. So they play like a series of games. It's like they team up. It's like Mike and Jasmina, Noy and Steve against Olajuwon and Katina and Mark and Lindsay. So they play flip cup. They play kickball, dodgeball. It's funny during dodgeball. When Noy ran so fast that her legs got away from her and she face planted before they got to the balls. No one helped her. And Steve was like, oh, I saw that happen.
Yeah, but I couldn't go back. It was too late. I couldn't
go back. Oh, gosh. So that was funny.
But I did like the dramatic, you know, cliffhanger going into commercial when Steve got Katina with the ball and she fell on the ground as if she had been shot.
Right.
He was like, what's going to happen?
Ooh.
She got up.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then they transition to their inside game.
Yeah. So we had the game that nobody should play, ever. But they always play every season because the producers make them. It's what they called here the most likely game. It's where they ask a series of questions of who's most likely to do whatever question they ask. So the first question they had.
Well, let's not miss Mike and Jasmina's cute shirts of better and half with an avocado.
They changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, a costume change.
They're like, we have to show both shirts.
Yeah. So first question that was asked was who is most likely to have cosmetic surgery? I think most people answered Noy, including herself.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that one as right?
I'm thinking she must have talked about it or something, because that seems like an odd one to just pick somebody and yeah
like I wouldn't, I mean, I guess if you think of all the people, like, most likely, but she doesn't strike me as overly materialistic, or I mean, not materialistic, but like into needing to make any updates at this point.
Yeah, I don't know, like, these questions are kind of, some of them were weird.
Yeah.
So the next one was who's likely to be the best liar. Steve answers that Noy is both the best and the worst liar. Noy says Steve. Katina says Jasmine, and so does Mike. And Jasmine, you know, also said herself. You know, and Katina was like, I don't know, you don't lie, but I feel like you'd just be a very good liar.
I love that explanation.
Right.
If you wanted to get into lying, you'd be really good at it.
If you wanted to start dabbling in lying, you'd be really good. You should think about it.
Yeah, you should think about being a con person.
Right.
So the next one was who is most likely to spend the most on their partner? Noy, was that Noy and Lindsay say Lindsay? Lindsay, I don't like the fact that Lindsay is always appropriating like these words. Mm-hmm. Does she like, is not her words like,
yeah,
she says, because you know, I'm always in my bag and I buy myself and my boo nice stuff. I was like, oh, stop. Steve said Elijah won. Mark said himself, which Lindsay is just
maniacally
laughing. And she's like,
and then asks, is that a joke?
Yes. Jokes? And Mark's like, well, I felt like if you need, like, Mark is so, like, so calm. He's like, I don't know. I just feel like if you need something, I would buy it for you.
Yeah. I'm like, why would you? And like, that is just the fact that she doesn't realize by saying, is that a joke? She is insulting him in front of everyone else. In front of the camera.
And, like, multiple ways.
Yes. And it's not like she's joking is that a joke? No, she's asking, like, is that a joke? Because that's not true.
This woman who earlier in the day just blew up on this man because he joked and called her hyper is like making these really just putting him down at every turn.
Every turn.
The hypocrisy is palpable. Yeah. It's crazy. So the next, Lindsay's not going to stop making an ass of herself because the next question is, who is most likely to be a stay-at-home parent? Noi answers herself, which was interesting. Lindsay, and they get into a thing about Noi saying, well, you know, I just want to take care of my kids. And Lindsay shoots at her like, well, are you saying that working moms can't raise kids? Lindsay's saying, you know, because she's a two income kind of, we'll say person, but she doesn't use that word. Lindsay then asks Noi, like, could you see yourself being a one income household? And, you know, Noi says, well, if Steve makes enough. And like, Steve's like, well, you want to have three whole ass kids, so I don't know if that's how much you talk, which, you know, maybe poke some holes into people's, like, because there's a lot of scuttlebutt online saying, like, Steve is like a secret millionaire. I think that maybe poke some holes in this. He's like, well, I don't know if I can afford three kids, you know. We talk about one or two, but, you know,
right, I don't know about a millionaire, but he's a thousandaire.
Yeah. he's Steve Thousandaire for sure,
right?
So in confessional, Lindsay's, you know, pretty much talking crap about Steve, and Noi's like, Steve doesn't have any income, so you want to have a jobless husband and a stay at home mom. Good luck with that. Oof. And I was in confessional, but she's gonna see that at some point.
Yeah, but yeah, just the fact that, you know, Noi, she's not trying to start anything, and then Lindsay just has to start something with that.
Yes. Like,
she
can't
skip an opportunity to create a conflict around one comment.
She takes anything and runs with it. Like, oh, hyper.
Yeah.
And to this question of who's going to be the stay-at-home parent, Lindsay actually answered Mark and said that she's going to bring home the bacon and Mark better cook it.
I'm sorry. Ever since we had Bryce guest, I cannot unhear, like, the smoker's voice.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't hear Lindsay like that before. I just thought it was, like, just a little raspy. But now that's all I hear.
It was very prevalent in this episode. Like, every confessional, every time she talks, like, wow, she's really smoking in that retreat, I guess.
Oh, man.
So Noi in a confessional comments, like, on how expressive Mark is with his face every time Lindsay is embarrassing herself and him. You know, everyone can see the hurt and the, like, disbelief on Mark's face all the time. And I know we've seen it as viewers. So the next question is, who is most likely to lie to their friends about their sex life? Now, interesting moment. Okay. Elijah one laughs very hard at this, like, really, like, as if something's going on. What do we think?
Oh, so you're saying that, like, they're lying that they haven't?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. We've kind of speculated on this all season.
Yeah, it is a weird question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the producers threw that in there.
I don't know. I feel like he's too proud of the fact that he's withholding it.
But would he lie about, you know, succumbing to his desires?
True. He could. I wouldn't put anything past him in terms of what he thinks is right to do in a relationship. or he say about answer, his relationship.
He does answer himself.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Hmm.
I don't know. Because, I mean, Katina, well, I guess it has been a while since Katina had that conversation with her friend saying that they haven't yet. And she's like,
and there's,
I feel like we will need to before decision day.
Right. There's always the one couple that lies about it, at least.
Right.
So Katina answered Steve. And I'm still not sure why she answered Steve. Like, right. She said something about us not rubbing her the right way. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, what does this mean?
It's like Bryce said. He said Steve gives him, like, Drake vibes. I'm just, like, a player. And I don't know. She's like, I don't know. Something's not a... That's
random. I think she's just like, let's throw a point towards Steve because he's not getting anything. And
right.
You know how it's like, they said up front, if you get voted the most, you're going to lose. So it's like, mm-hmm. She doesn't want to ruffle any feathers.
Oh, it's emergent strategy there. I see.
Oh.
Throw some votes.
Throwaway vote. Yeah.
Right.
So Mark to this question answered Lindsay. And, you know, as either asking him why he's answering that, Lindsay butts in and says, it's because I tell him it's good, as if she's, you know, she's lying to him about saying it's good.
Yeah. Once again, making it awkward for everyone involved.
Yep. She has him an idle laugh again, and you can just see everyone's face being like, oh my gosh, she did not just do that. Like, it's extremely, it's one of the most awkward moments of the season. And it's just, I can't believe that that's coming out of her mouth.
Right.
So in a confessional, Lindsay tells us that Mark is selfish in bed, just to make this even worse, just to tell us even more of the nonsense that she's doing. Mark also answered Lindsay because he says she might paint a picture that he doesn't agree with.
That took me back to the honeymoon when it was like the 1.5 times, or like the different amount of times that they disagreed on how many times it happened. So yeah
it's a problem.
Yeah.
So the next question is, who is most likely to start a fight? Of course everyone chooses Lindsay. You know, Jasmina says she answered that because she's seen Lindsay start fights, basically, like, mm-hmm. See, you start fights because of things you said. Steve then butts in and is like, well, does that mean that she started a fight on the airplane? It's basically throwing like a grenade in the middle of this like argument.
He's like, let me slip this in real quick and then back away.
Elijah was like, duh. Like, basically, like, looking at him like, oh yeah, she did. So then Lindsay starts coming after Steve and he's like, oh, sorry, I didn't think it would touch such a nerve. Like,
yes. You know,
my bad. So then we get to the question that sets it all off. Who is most likely to lose this game? Everyone answers Lindsay. Lindsay goes on a tirade, says she doesn't give a F what people think. She loves herself. She wakes up refreshed. She has God in her heart and her soul. She has never F with bad mentality. And that is why she is rising in life. And she again says she doesn't give a F what they think.
I just like, is she sticking to wine this evening, or is she mixing it with tequila, or is this beer? I just have to know what it is at this point.
It should have just been a dry retreat. Like, if they all want to have, if they all want to have a good time, like, don't bring any alcohol to the retreat. Check Lindsay's bags when she gets there. Take the liquor. I'm sure she's smuggling in her bags out of her bags. Because, you know, she probably came fully stocked. Like, remember, like, when they went on that dinner that Elijah one, like, went crazy at? She brought liquor out of her own house because they had non-alcoholic, liquor on the bus. Like, just it needs to be, like, no liquor for Lindsay if y'all want to have a good time.
Right. Oh, gosh.
So we come back from a commercial break. And we come into this odd scene. Lindsay enters a room and asks Mark if he left her to be a part of production now. Like, you want to be part of production now?
What kind of question? Where does this come from?
Was he like hanging with producers or something? Like, were there producers on the other side of the camera we couldn't see? Like, he's
there always are.
Yeah, well, he's just talking, shooting the crap with them.
But in what world does he want to be a part of production? Just because he's standing next to them.
Listen, Lindsay is drunk AF at this moment. And I don't know when, I don't know what series of events this occurred, but I feel like Lindsay's now wearing something different than what she was wearing before we went to commercial. Not sure where this came in the series of events. So he tells her, you know, I left because of what you said. Like, and we're left to wonder, like, what are they talking about? Like, what's going on? And she keeps like talking to him. She's like hitting his arm. Like, she's like smacking his arm, like, as she's talking to him. And then she's like, well, you know, you want to be part of production now? You said, is that it? He's like, all right, I'm done with you. And she turns around and walks away. And then we get a confessional from Mike. He says he has no idea what's happening with them. And he just like came upon them fighting, but you know, he's not surprised because this is pretty much on brand for them. Then I feel like Mike like got drafted by production to go and talk to Mark. Like, we need somebody to go talk to Mark.
Chris wasn't there.
Yeah, Chris isn't around. We need somebody to go talk to Mark about why he's fighting with Lindsay. And no, everybody's probably like, nope, not me, not me. And they just like eeny meeny miny mode it, and Mike lost. Right. So Mike asks what happened. So Mark tells this story, and I just have so many questions about this story. Okay. Mark tells him that he and Lindsay went to go start a fire. He went to go put some kerosene on the fire, and Lindsay told him that that was her kerosene and that he was crossing her boundaries by using it. Well, okay. Why do you have personal kerosene? Like, what?
I didn't know we were at the fire making challenge. Like, you have your own supplies. So yeah,
like, do you carry it with you? Like, is this something that you carry in your car? That's dangerous. Like, what's happening? Why is this your personal kerosene, Lindsay?
And yeah, it's not like this is like contact solution, or this is my foundation I brought, or this is my personal supply of toiletries. This is kerosene that would be benefiting everyone there. Y'all brought. Like, who, it's like you're, it's like you bringing, like, you going, like, hey guys, okay, we're going to the retreat. I'm going to bring some paper towels, and someone uses a paper towel, and you're like, whoa, respect my boundaries. That's my paper towel.
I put my name on that canister of kerosene. How dare you use my kerosene? Like, Lindsay, you're always carrying kerosene. We just thought it was a good time to use it. We don't know why you're always carrying a canister of kerosene, but this would be a perfect time. Why can't we use it? No, I don't get it. I don't get it. And Mark says, you know, she grabbed his arm again, and, you know, he didn't like that, and he left.
He does not like the arm. She loves doing the arm, and he does not like the arm. So.
Yeah, like a mismatch if you've ever heard one. Yeah. Like, you know, and so Mike is asking, like, so does this happen a lot? And Mark's explaining, and like, it, like this scene was everything. The scene was like 5 stars to me. Okay, and so we can kind of see Mike out of the corner of his eye, like looking somewhere, and then the camera pans over. Dude, Lindsay, like, on the stairs, like, kind of staring at them, I guess, and Elijah Wan is trying to, like, get her to come back upstairs, and, like, she's like, I'm gonna drive home, like, and Elijah's like, come on, let's go upstairs, come on, let's go to the roof, can we get to the roof of this place, I don't know, and just Mike, just the look on Mike's face, as, like, the camera pans back to him, he just has this look on his face, like, what is even happening, like,
yeah.
What is the situation that I found myself in? This woman is crazy. I feel like she might kill me later tonight. She might murder us all in our sleep. There's a look on his face. I could not stop laughing for 5 minutes. I had to pause it. Because if you still have the episode that you still have access to, please just go look at this moment. Because you might have missed it. But just a look on Mike's face. Like, he lingers on the spot where Lindsay was. He's just like, what? What just happened? Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't stop laughing about it. So yeah, that was crazy. So Mike tells Mark, you know, I don't think the kerosene is the real issue. Like,
it's it like, seemed like Mark did not, like, that was a revelation to him. Like,
yeah, wait a minute.
There's other things going on.
Wait, really? Like,
wait. You really think the kerosene wasn't the issue? But that's what she said.
So he gives the horrible advice. To go to Lindsay and ask her how she's feeling and what the real issue is. So Mark, a professional, says that the argument he thinks maybe could have stemmed from the game they played, maybe. And he doesn't know how to talk to her, and he knows he needs to talk to her to figure out where it's coming from. And you know, I made in my notes here, it's coming from the she drunk, just leave her alone and let her sleep it off. So Mark makes the bad decision of getting in bed with Lindsay, and I'm not sure what was happening here. It looked like at first that he was like pretending to go to sleep, and then like he hears her crying and he's like, all right, well, why are you crying? She says that she was talking to Olajuwon and he told her that what she was saying during the game was hurting Mark, and then she goes on this rant, this like nonsensical like thing, and she says, I tried to speak to you in that kindest way, but I have to honor what my wants and desires, and I have to grieve that loss. And she says she does not know how to honor him and still honor herself, and she feels like she's honoring him, but who's gonna honor her? I don't know where this was going at all. And then like as I'm thinking that, we get a confessional of Mark says, I'm listening, but I have no idea what she is talking about. And then she tells him, like, you know, here, I constantly feel like I have to give to you, and you know, and your life is falling apart. And he stops her. He's like, whoa. Okay, I feel like you're first of all, you're it's a personal dig to say this about my life right now, and I just don't agree that my life is falling apart as you keep telling people. You know, she asks, well, how is your life not falling apart? And he tells her, like, you know, you don't need to point out things in my life that aren't going good. You know, I don't do that to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's like,
no, you called me hyper.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing. So she's saying that, you know, this is a pattern that she's seeing in him, is giving her pause. And in confessional, Mark says, every day is hard. Like, poor Mark. Every day is hard.
That was not a big statement.
Yeah. It's not giving him fulfillment. And that, he said this in a weird way. He's not giving him fulfillment that he's going to say yes, and he's trying his best. That's all he can do. You know, Mark decides to leave, and then, you know, once Lindsay's in the room, quote unquote, by herself, she says it's going to be easy to say no to him. Like, okay,
so annoying. Mm-hmm. It's unnecessary to. I mean, like, if she's stuck to wanting to genuinely help him in the times that she does help him without bringing it up constantly day in and day out and like taking digs like this, mm-hmm. like saying his life is falling apart, then I would see that she wants the best for this. She just has communication issues. But the fact that she throws it in his face in times like this, anytime there's a blow up, she's throwing some element of her helping him or her being there for him and trying to make him feel guilty for her being there for him. It's just like, what are you doing? When is this ever going to work out with someone? Like, it's just like, I don't know what type of guy that'd be fine for. Like, maybe somebody who just doesn't want to have any opinions and just lets her do whatever. I don't know.
She's not willing to go to that low blow. And he hasn't even seen all the things that she said about him.
You know? Exactly.
Yeah. Bowling alley. So.
And she's constantly talking about his life falling apart. I mean, his life is not, like, perfect right now. But I would not say that his life is falling apart. Like, he lost an apartment. You know, that was a bad situation, but that's pretty much behind him now. That was like a month ago. Mm-hmm. Sure, he's going to have to find another apartment when this is over. Fine. And, you know, he's got the job thing, which I would not classify his life as falling apart, basically. Like, she's just trying to, she has a savior complex, and she wants to make his life out to be like worse than it is, so that she can say it. She's riding in to save the day. Mm-hmm. And it's an issue for sure.
Yeah.
So we get to the next morning. Lindsay, shockingly, is not feeling well. You know, she says, maybe it was something I ate. Or you're just very, very hungover.
Absolutely. We got some feedback from Sarah. She said, Mark took Lindsay to an urgent care for a bad hangover, right?
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. Yeah.
That's all it was.
And, you know, Mark is being very caring towards her. You know, he says he just wants to get better. And she's like, yeah, thank you for taking care of me, even though I picked a fight with you. Like, at least she's admitting that she picked a fight in the sober light of day. He says no matter what, he's going to help her, you know, no matter what they're going through right now. So that we get to the pivotal scene that we were talking about last week where is Lindsay going to jump out of a moving car?
Did they trick you, Amy?
A little bit.
Amy, you thought she was going to jump out of a moving car.
Well, it wasn't moving super fast. And then she was on a gurney. I don't know.
She would have always sprained an ankle or something.
Yeah.
So, yes, like I theorized last week, Mark did have to pull over so that and she opened the door so that she could barf once he stopped the car. And I liked in the preview last week where they added into this in their preview where Mark is like yelling, like, what are you doing?
Right.
And that was not in the actual episode. No.
Like, okay, let's figure out when that actually happened. Yeah. When did he say those words?
Like they really wanted to ratchet up the suspense for making us think of Lindsay would jump out of a moving car. So we then shoot over to breakfast for the other people in the cabin. Jasmina is telling the others, you know, about Lindsay needing to go to urgent care, and she said Lindsay's supposed to make breakfast, but I'll take over, and Mike is doing the job of supervising.
I wonder what she was supposed to cook. They said Lindsay was supposed to cook an Italian dish, but it's breakfast, right?
I don't know.
Italian breakfast dishes, right, but I'm just mind. Right that Lindsay could prepare.
I don't want to know how much like wine she's going to pour into this thing. So they start eating the food. Apparently, this Jasmina just makes fantastic food. They're all just commenting like, "Oh, this food's so good.
It's better than anything we would have had."
Oh my god, yeah. So then we get to the talking of it all. But I just have to like put a spotlight on Steve's wardrobe in this moment.
What was wrong with it?
It looked like they plucked him out of Jersey Shore. Like he has the outrageous like leopard shirt on. He's got the chain on. Like they just got him out of Jersey Shore. And they did mention on After Party that this is the outfit that he bought to match Noi and Sushi from their 1 month anniversary present when he bought the matching outfits.
I told you that. Remember, I said on Twitter, I said you don't understand what it means to be a dog parent. I matched the gift he gave Sushi. The gift arrived early, so he was like, "Hey, let's just go ahead and wear these shirts."
I'm not gonna comment on that. I'm not gonna step into the trap that you've just laid for me. I'm gonna move on now.
But I will say, similar to what one of our loyal listeners, Timo, pointed out, but she said that these prints did not match. It's just like he thought, oh, these are both leopard, but they were completely different types. It was like one may have been cheetah, or it was just like it just didn't match. But in Steve's eyes, these are just an all matching combination. So I really want to see those pictures when they do take those family pictures.
Oh boy. Like it was a sight to behold. I was just like, I had to pause it. I took a picture of it. I put it on Twitter. Like, oh my gosh. So Mike comments on how special the moment is for all of them to be together because it will never happen again. He's like, well, I mean, we could hang out later, but this is the last time in the experiment.
Was the hidden meaning like all these three couples and Lindsay is not there? Like, we never get to all hang out together.
Do you think they all were when they woke up and was like, right, oh, Lindsay's gone? Yeah. Oh my gosh. It was
finally peaceful.
Right. We don't have to worry about some random commentary at this meal. What?
Unless Katina acts up and Elijah wants to put her straight.
Oh my god. gross.
Jasmine asks Steve and Noi if they feel any pressure to stay together since they're seen as the, as she puts it, paradise couple. Jasmine, where you been? That was like 3 weeks ago. We have stopped thinking about them for a while now.
Right. I was like, who is still thinking of them as a picture perfect couple? But I guess it's because they don't talk about their issues constantly. Like, they're not always bringing them up. So in the other couple's eyes, they may think that they're just fine. It's the guy's side where Steve is being more honest. So it's like Mike probably has a better impression of what's going on. And I guess they're not doing pillow talk and just catching up on all the couples. So Jasmina has this picture perfect view.
I guess. It was like, we're not really thinking of them as a perfect couple anymore, Mike and Jasmina. You guys are kind of taking over the top spot so far.
Yeah.
Recently. Noi talks about how they're still working on their trust in each other and it isn't all the way there yet. And she hopes that they get there before decision day. And Steve has to chime in. Well, yeah, you know, I trust her not to disappear, but I'm not sure if I can trust her with my emotions and my secrets. And Noi makes his face, and she's like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. It, trust is a big thing with them. And I don't think I don't think that they've had a productive enough conversation to understand what it means for each of them, because they just always in conversations, just like, I'm not quite sure what the other was talking about.
But I mean, like, Steve, I feel like this is like, I can't tell you something that I'm feeling because I'm afraid that you'll use it in your next, Instagram post. Right? I feel like that's kind of what he was getting at.
Yeah, he should at this point, because she wants to play the, oh, it's general card. He should like spark a conversation that's very specific that wouldn't apply to anyone else. And he's just like, you know, he's okay. So just imagine Steve's like, Noi, I really don't like, I can't even think of a specific enough scenario, but it's just like, there's absolutely no way she could be posting about someone else.
Noi, you know, I think blueberries are like the fruit of the devil. And Noi posts on her IG like, when someone tells you that blueberries are the fruit of the devil,
yes,
believe them. It's like, aha, I caught you, Noi.
Right? She's like, no, so that's about anyone else.
That's like, I'm gonna tell like three of my friends like three different secrets, and I'm gonna see like what secret gets out to our friend group and who told it
exactly.
So Katina talks about how she wants her and Elijah want to have deeper conversations. And he says, you know, we are having those. And Elijah one says, you know, we are kind of having those conversations, but sometimes it gets ugly. Yeah, no kidding.
And
he talks about, you know, he thinks that there may be love there. And everyone's like, oh, you said the L word.
Right.
So everybody makes a big deal out of it. He's like, oh, whoa. Like, it could be a possibility. I said, like, hit the brakes. So don't use it. He's so afraid of the love word.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's crazy. He always talks about, I have love for you. He's one of those people. Like, he's one of those people, Amy, like on your show, the Bachelor and the Bachelor. Yeah. Like, I'm not in love with you, but I love you.
Right.
I feel like I've heard that a few times on that show.
I could see myself falling in the future.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like I'm falling, but I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on my heels, but I'm not all the way falling.
My knees are bent.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm not there yet.
Mike says that for him, he says when they met the medium, it felt like the first time that he felt that Jasmina really cared for him, because beforehand she made sure to prepare him for his emotions with the medium. And like, Jazz is getting really choked up and really starting to cry. And,
yeah.
And you know,
I came Mike, out of nowhere.
Yeah. Mike like reaches out and grabs her hand. And, you know, she tells him that she didn't want him to feel like he had to do something that he didn't want to do. And she wanted him to do it because he wanted to do it, not because she wanted him to. In a confessional, Mike says he felt that in the medium, when they met with the medium, that she was talking about things about his family, and having Jasmina there was comforting. And he feels that level of trust with her is he feels a new level of trust with her. He saw another level of compassion. And if they continue down this road and have continue this streak, that he thinks they're going to really make it and have a great marriage in the future. And Olajuwon comments, you know, he's seeing them get closer this weekend. So, I mean, if Olajuwon gives you that seal of approval, then you know that you're in a good spot.
I'm like, Olajuwon, what is going on in your own relationship? where did we leave off there? What did y'all decide about what's happening in 2 years?
No, we just got to keep Zion on their hand-holding.
Right.
I feel like Elijah would be one to be like, I feel like I'm really guiding Mike in his relationship with Jasmina. Like, I've been giving him some great advice.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's really grown because of my tutelage. Because I am the ultimate in, you know, how you're supposed to treat a lady.
Right.
Maybe that'd be him. Like, so we cut to urgent care. We see Lindsay on like the hospital bed thing. And Mark tells us, you know, she's been sleeping for 45 minutes. And I just feel like in Mark's mind, it's like, oh, I've had sweet relief for 45 minutes. Yes. I've had just a nonstop quiet for the last 45 minutes. It's the best 45 minutes of the last month I've had.
Right.
He talks about he hopes she feels better when she wakes up. We get a card that says 30 minutes later, Lindsay is awake, and she says that she is dehydrated.
That is typically what happens when you are hungover. Exactly. You are dehydrated. You need some liquids. All they needed was some liquid IV at that log cabin. Put that in some water. Triple the hydration. This is not an ad. And then
I feel like we're getting an insight into the wild nightlife. Asia, what is your alter ego? Do you have a noisy?
What if noise is noisy?
You're like Europe or something because your name is Asia.
Right. It's Asia, but spelled ASIA.
This is the real Asia.
Right.
So we get everybody leaving the cabin. Steve on the way back home is talking to Noi about their living arrangements post decision day. Noi is talking about it's so scary because even though they're married, she's scared to say goodbye to her life, before she got married. Steve says, "Oh, sounds like you're missing your single life." Noi says, "Not really, but I tend to put my partner's needs before my own." Wait a minute. Stop the presses. Okay. You are the same person that is not putting your partner's need for privacy above your need to subtweet your husband and talk about all your relationship issues out in the open. Like you're the same person that's claiming to me right now that you put your partner's needs before yourself.
Right. I mean, could it be that she's done it so much in the past that now she's all of a sudden trying to do the opposite?
I'm done. I'm not doing that anymore. It's all about me now. This would be quite the time to do that when she gets married.
Yeah. Yeah, it was shades of Virginia and Eric, where Virginia did not want to lose her apartment either. It's like she just feels very attached to that apartment and something in her identity is there.
I need my apartment. And I need to keep drinking and I need to stay over at my male friend's houses. I miss Virginia. Yeah. Virginia was a trip. So Noi is telling Steve about the fact that, in her prior relationship that she had moved to Boston for her significant other. And she had, at that time when she moved there, she had no job. She's away from her family. And, after that blew up, it was her first time living alone. And she has really become attached to her studio apartment. And she says that the studio apartment is like her safety net and she doesn't want to let it go. But she says she doesn't want Steve to feel it's not because she doesn't trust him or trust their marriage. But then in a confessional right after that, she's like, I just want to hold on to it in case it doesn't work out. Right. It feels like maybe you don't trust the marriage. No, I don't know.
The real reason.
Yeah. She talks about how scared she is about it all. Steven confessional says that, she still has fears and doubts about forever with him. He tells her, maybe you should take some time post decision day to try and, let some of those things go. Seems to be a little more understanding. But then in confessional, he says, the fact that she can't let go of these things yet, may be a sign that she's not taking the marriage seriously. Yeah. Do you think, Steve? Do you think?
Captain Obvious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Steve tells her that the things that she's saying is kind of making him wonder if she really wants to be married to him. And Noi just kind of looks despondent, mouth a little agape. They do this weird time lapse thing where she's just staring off into space. And that's the end of the episode. So since we didn't go couple by couple this episode, let's tackle all the ratings all at once. Let's start with Mark and Lindsay, even though, if I even had to ask. Asia, what do you got?
I am going to go with a hard one. Continue the trend. I think that there is no way on this earth that Mark says yes. There's no way he's going to choose to continue to be in this marriage, specifically with Lindsay, after everything he's gone through.
Can you imagine calendar? Can you imagine the calendar? Like every day he's like, oh, check off.
Right.
Yeah, I am at a one as well for them.
Amy doesn't believe in love, y'all.
Yeah. his statement that every day is hard, that was just so telling to me. That
yes,
it seems like almost every episode he has this like sigh of like, why am I in this? Like I will never get the image out of my head of when they had that argument a few episodes ago. He's just like at the refrigerator and just like, oh my god, like, how am I still stuck in this? So yeah, it's a gold solid flashing one for me. Yeah. It always has been. It always will be.
And this is on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being they're going to definitely get divorced, 5 being they're going to stay together. So last time you were here, Amy, you gave them a 2.
Okay. So. I thought it might have even been higher, but you know, in the casting and early on with Mark, I thought, okay, here's somebody he's tried to be on the show before. He really is desperate to make this want to work. So I think even halfway into the season, I was like, oh no, he's going to stick through with this, but there's just no chance now. He
had no idea what he was getting himself into.
No.
Like, right. At that point.
Right. Even the most staunch person that really wants to be on this show. Like, I can't do it. Like,
yeah.
Can't do it.
Yes.
All right. So let's move on to Mike and Jasmina. Amy, we'll start with you this time.
Okay, so this is an interesting one because I think they've had enough positive momentum that, you know, that first month I was really losing hope with them, but I don't think they need much more of a shift to agree to at least stay married and work on it a little further. So I'm going to give them a 4.
Okay, sounds good. Asia, what about you?
Yeah, I'm going to maintain my 4 from last week. So last week, or the week before, I was at a 3, and then I went up to a 4 last week, and I'll maintain the 4 because I think they're doing really well. Like, they are all in. They're invested. I think the only setback at this point is the fact that Jasmina, in which we see on the next time on, is she's feeling like she doesn't have that urge to be physical with him.
And at least she changed up the language.
Yeah.
She changed up the vocabulary. Like, she didn't say, I feel nothing.
Yeah. True. So because of that, I think if they can get there where they are comfortable with each other, or if, you know, this, she has said that this, where they are, if she feels feelings towards him, she'll be okay even if they like aren't physical before decision day. So I feel like we're getting a little bit more optimism from Jasmina, and Mike is definitely in a better headspace rather than like being confused all the time about like where they're at or how she's feeling, and they're doing better at talking to each other more consistently. So I feel like we might see them together.
Yep, I'm gonna make it 4s across the board. Nice. Really hopeful for them. I really want them to realize that even though they still have work to do, that it doesn't seem impossible. And I want them to keep it up. So yeah. I'll stay with the 4. Let us move to Steve and Noy. Asia, what do you got?
Yeah. I feel like each week that goes by, even though Steve has issues with certain things, like especially social media, I think this was a really good sign that we didn't hear anything about the job. It seems like things may have been squared away. And it's never like Steve saying, oh, I think this is going to make me say no on decision day. It's just always, how can we move forward? Just making sure that we're on a good page, that we're communicating, that we are respecting each other. And so last week I was at a 3, but because, I don't know, they didn't do anything to go down, but yeah, we still have this social media issue, which is really impacting him. So I'm going to maintain a 3.
Okay. Amy, what about you?
Yeah, I'm at a 3 with them as well. This was one, you know, one of those out the gate, they seemed like, oh, this is just me, one of those perfect couples. They hit it off right away. But the fact that she's not budging on something that's really fundamentally important to him, and I think would be to a lot of people. And I could just kind of see it being one of those cases where maybe one of them says yes and one says no. And I don't even know which way it would be, but just kind of one of those ones where it's a little bit unpredictable. You don't know what direction Noi might go, or Steve might have this kind of calm demeanor, but just sort of say, okay, at the end of the day, I don't want this to continue, you know, because we weren't able to come to a resolution. So I'll have to go with the three.
Yeah, we're all in agreement again. Threes. I don't know how they can, what's going to come of all this? Like,
yeah,
what the resolution is going to be. Can anybody, can somebody talk any sense into her to get her to stop being childish?
Right.
If it's a no from somebody, I hope it's a no from Steve, because I feel like he might need to say no. I feel like he should say no. But I don't know. He might just be too invested. So I'll go with a three, kind of middle of the road.
Okay.
And last but not least, Lajuan and Katina. Amy, what you got?
So this isn't like a sign of approval that I think they have the best relationship, but I just think that they will stay together. So I'm going to give them a five.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Ugh, you would think that based on what we've seen, Katina would, like, if you just wrote down all of Olajuwon's actions, you would think, oh, would his wife say no to staying married on decision day? You would think the answer is, yeah, she would say no. Mm-hmm. But no, we have to understand who we're dealing with here. And Katina seems like any positive that happens is like, it completely overshadows everything that they've talked about. So if they get home, or if they're on their way, he stops at her favorite restaurant to pick her up something to eat, she's like, that is amazing. And just completely forget all about how he feels about what's happening in 2 years with the fact that she still has school. So, yeah, unfortunately, I mean, if they're happy, they're happy if they do stay together. But yeah, I'll say five as well.
Yeah, I mean, everything we've seen, all the evidence that we've seen, unfortunately, that's maybe spoiled us a little.
The after party.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with a five, too, because, you know, I obviously all three of us are giving a reluctant five.
Yeah.
Kind of don't want it to go
None
forward.
None of us wanted to.
Yeah, so we'll go with five. Now, to go a little bit into the next time on, Katina is saying something on the next time. It was like, you know, it's draining to me. Like, I feel like, you know, she might be talking about Olajuwon's like image, like outbursts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Olajuwon says, like, can you just shut up for a second? But I think in that moment, he may be talking about himself, like maybe what Katina would want to say to him.
I tried to read it that way, but it doesn't. I could totally see him saying that.
That's the way I read it, because I feel like she's going to talk about like how much he talks over her or talks a lot. Mm-hmm. And maybe he's like, maybe you should just say to me, like, well, can't you just shut up for a second? But then we get a producer asking Olajuwon if, so do you think that she should say no to you on decision day? Mm-hmm. And he's very emotional. He's got like tears in his eyes. So I don't know what that's going to be about.
Yeah. Well, the next time on is next episode, we are getting the hometown visits, or not hometown visits, but like the look where you came from type of visit. And Dr. Pepper is also there. Back. So I'm very excited to see her again.
Too little, too late, Dr. Pepper. yeah, because, you know, like we said, you know, in the preview, Pepper's asking, so what? She asks Jasmine, so like, why no kissing, no touching? And then she says, I don't get the urge to. And Mike looks upset. He's like, well, it's hard to hear that from somebody you want to be in a relationship with.
Right. And Lindsay is saying, like, she's not going to let Mark hurt her. So she's mad again, of course. And and then, like you said, the Katina and the Olajuwon content. So we didn't see too much from Noi and Steve besides them dancing in the apartment.
Yeah. And he did tell her that, you know, if they can't live together after decision day, that it's not going to work. To say that to her, so he might be flip-flopping on what he's saying this episode.
Right. So that's our episode. Thank you so much for joining us, Amy.
Yes, thanks for having me. I had a blast. Great to catch up with you too.
Yes,
that was so much fun.
Right, because we talked so much maths over the past, what has it been, like past year. They push out these content or these seasons so fast. I think it has truly only been like, because we had the first season at the beginning of 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's crazy. Yeah.
where pumping them out.
Yeah, exactly. Where can people find you?
So you can find me on Twitter at RHAP Recapper. And we recently wrapped up coverage of The Bachelor, the controversial Bachelor season. Mm. But if anyone is binging that, you can go back and check out my coverage with Haley on The Bachelor Rehab Ups, which you would also get in the Reality TV Rehab Ups feed where you get this podcast. And Haley and I recently did, I don't know if it's out yet, but we guested on Tori's Ready to Be Petty podcast, where we talk about the latest in pop culture and a little bit of the Bachelor drama with someone accusing Clayton of cheating over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And
turned out to be the catfish. Fake news,
but yeah.
Well, awesome. Yeah. So thanks so much for joining us. Jason, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at JAYR1085. Grace Leader and I are doing coverage of Winning Time, the HBO Max show, over on Post Show Recaps. So you can see, you can listen to us there for the remainder of this season. I'm actually going to be on Robin Akivanita podcast this weekend, so check me out there. Nice. Anything else that you, that I'm on, I will be talking about it on my Twitter. So check there for anything else that pops up. And Asia, I'm gonna let you do your plugs. I'm gonna go ahead and take a bathroom break while you're doing that.
No. Easy little wrap up.
Maybe grab a snack while I'm at it. I'm gonna have time, so go ahead and give all the people your plugs.
So y'all can follow me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia, AYSHA Like ASIA. In the past week, Mary Kukowski and I have done the coverage of the Ultimatum. So definitely go check us out. We talked about this past season in three bunches. We talked about episodes 1 through 4, 5 through 8, and then the finale and the reunion. And you can find that in the Love at First Sight feed, where hopefully you found this podcast. So if you subscribe to the Love at First Sight feed, you can get the Ultimatum, you can get Married at First Sight, and you can get Love is Blind. So some additional Love is Blind content will be coming your way. So if you subscribe, you'll know about it first, because it'll just drop on your feed. I also joined the Top Chef crew to talk about the most recent episode of Top Chef. So we had a fun time talking about that on Reality TV Rehab Ups. And then by the time you're listening to this, it might be out. I joined the Dark Walk crew over on Post Show Recaps to talk about episode 6 of season 2 of Bridgerton. So I had a fun time doing that. And then, of course, Big Brother Canada coverage, Survivor. Anything I am putting out, you can just find it. I'll tweet about it. So just follow me on Twitter. But thank y'all so much for sticking with us. And we will be back next week. Bye.